Hello and welcome to this episode of Meet the Entrepreneur, brought to you by Invest Africa Insights. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Mohamed Abdu, founder and CEO of Pravica, an Egyptian startup leveraging blockchain technology to build a secure communication suite. Mohamed, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here with you.
So, Mohamed, Pravica is the first blockchain email service provider in the MENA region, I believe. And last year, you closed a pre-seed funding round for $500,000 with big ambitions for 2021. And in fact, just last week, Mohamed pitched to our angel investors on Invest Africa and Untapped Global's The Nest. So, Mohamed, before we talk about Pravica and your vision, perhaps we can just take a step back, because when many people hear blockchain, they think of Bitcoin, but in reality, it's a technology that can be applied to any transaction or exchange of data. So for those who don't know, or for those who need a reminder, perhaps you can briefly explain just what blockchain technology is and how it works.
Yeah, so, well, actually, this is something common that when you talk about blockchain with anyone, the first thing comes out is the crypto, or actually, for particularly, it's Bitcoin. So this is because I think Bitcoin is the first well-implemented use case of the blockchain technology that already solved a problem on the ground, which is the financial transaction from point A to point B in a much more secure and fast transaction way. So, but there is a big difference between Bitcoin as a use case and blockchain as a technology, because actually Bitcoin already built on top of some fundamental things behind blockchain, like peer-to-peer networking, cryptography, proof of work, gamification, and all these branches. So it's not only about blockchain. So simply, blockchain is just a way to store your data. You can consider it a data structure, but in a different way to guarantee something like data immutability, where if you're going to store anything on the blockchain, it will stay forever right there. So it's just a way to store the data in a different way rather than what we are doing in Web 2.0 or in these days, whatever the application. So to establish the trust and to eliminate the effect of a third party. So think about Bitcoin as a use case. We agreed that Bitcoin is the first use case. The Bitcoin network, you can send the digital asset from point to point without any need for a third party to verify the transaction or to approve it. No, just peer-to-peer transaction. And once that transaction already established and stored in the blockchain, no one can change it. It's immutable and no one can do anything with it. So in the most simple way, the blockchain is just a way to store your data in an immutable way, and no one can change it. And it is totally a peer-to-peer system where there is no way that a third party can act or can stop any kind of transaction. So also transaction here, it doesn't mean financial transaction, but any kind of database storing transaction. Like if I need to store something, it's considered to be a transaction.
So you talked there about Bitcoin being the sort of the first successful use case of blockchain to solve a problem on the ground. So you're using it in communications. What's the problem there with communications that you're trying to solve with this technology? Why do we need a new technology to underpin our digital communications?
Yeah, well, so back in 2019, when I started to explore the problems on the ground, real problems that in a need to solve using blockchain technology, there was a huge problem about digital communication. Think about the email system that we are all using these days, the initial protocols that any emailing system running on top of it, it's already developed since 17th, 18th. And at that time, the main concern when these protocols came to life, it just to secure the communicate or to secure that there is a way to send a message from A to B. But the privacy concern and security concerns was not implemented inside this protocol in the best way. And this is why we are seeing a lot of problems, like, for example, a business email compromise attack. This problem actually, it's simply when someone compromises your business email and acts on behalf of you, especially in the financial transactions. So actually this problem, it was the main reason for more than $26 billion losses in US businesses in the last 3 years. So it is the first initiative that led us here to think about how to use blockchain to solve this issue. It's a trust issue. So blockchain, as we mentioned, is something to solve the trusting issue. And we came with a small MVP. It was in May 2019. And at that time, the name was DMails. It refers to a decentralized email. And once we started to take the idea to the next level, we discovered that as long as we succeeded to solve the email sending process between point A to point B, where we can guarantee the highest level of security and privacy, why we don't use the same concept in whole digital communication activities like chatting, voice call, video call, conferences, and all other communication activities. And after COVID-19 pandemic, we saw the growth of the usage of digital communication, like communication over the conferences and over the calls. So all these things, once there was a spotlight on these platforms, we discovered a lot of problems came out every single day. We see that every single day, a lot of problems coming out because of privacy violation, because of security. So it's easy now for some advanced hackers to participate in some calls over Zoom. And we saw a lot of cases on the media talking about these things. So this is actually what driving us every day to come with a solid solution to secure the digital communication. We can consider it like a human right. It's your right to communicate in a private and secure way. And we found that to build this shift, we need blockchain technology as a fundamental layer from the protocol level, where we can build on top of it tools and applications that can help from governmental entities, enterprises, and individuals as well to protect their digital communication activities.
And now, so you've launched in Egypt, but with plans to expand in the future. In your experience now so far in Egypt, what have been the sort of the use cases that you're seeing take up in? What are your sort of first products on the market?
I think that in the developing countries, especially in Africa, there are a lot of cases that in a bad need for blockchain technology to establish the transparency and to eliminate the corruption. So there are a lot of cases around us ready to be implemented, but in a need for more skills, more developers, more funding channels to solve all these issues. So it's not only in Egypt, but it is in all over developing countries. This is something that I feel blockchain adoption will come from the developing countries, because there are a lot of cases to be implemented and we need to solve all these issues. And blockchain technology is the only way available for us now to solve these issues.
And you mentioned there that this technology is potentially exciting in African markets, because it sort of comes with a promise to tackle a lot of the challenges that those countries have faced in terms of trust in institutions, financial inclusion, incomplete data sets. So what applications of blockchain do you see as being the most sort of disruptive and potentially exciting in an African context?
We have many use cases. For example, think about the real estate factoring. Think about your home when you need to be sure about your ownership. And one day, you need, when you go to sell your home to anyone, you need to guarantee how much it takes to establish the ownership transfer. So you don't need any kind of governmental services that to establish the trust. So think about it like a blockchain application. You have a wallet and you have the ownership of your land, of your home, whatever, the real estate element. So when someone coming to buy from you, you just transfer the ownership from your wallet to his wallet without any need. And once it's transferred, stored on the blockchain, it's immutable, and one can do any kind of changes for this contract. So it's one use case. Also, the healthcare record. Think about the healthcare record, how much these sensitive information about everyone. So in the legacy system, I think anyone works as an admin for any system, he can access by anyhow, even theoretically, the data itself. So we need your healthcare record to be owned by you, and no one can access unless you give him a permission. So there is a lot of cases in the healthcare industry, in the real estate, even in the tokenization, and it can affect the economy part exponentially, where think about a huge area of a land, and we need to tokenize the ownership of this thing. So yeah, there are many cases around us, but we need too many developers to solve these issues. A lot of startups to come out, and as I mentioned before, the support from the governmental entities and putting the regulations, accelerating the adoption of this technology. And for sure, there are many cases in the financial sectors. Think about the DeFi, the decentralized finance. Every single function that we have in the financial sector, we can implement it in a decentralized way.
So we've spoken a lot about trust, and that's sort of the core of the technology, is building that trust. But I suppose there's also a challenge in convincing people to trust the technology itself. You know, and there's been some sort of high profile stories around cryptocurrencies where there may have been sort of cases of fraud, and it sort of damages the trust in the technology when that happens. So how do you get around that issue when you're educating your customers as to the nature of blockchain and why they should trust it to store, as you're saying, sort of their most sensitive information?
Well, this is actually a great question. So blockchain as an innovation, when you think about any innovation, when it comes to life, the early adopters for these innovations, almost the criminal activities. Because at the early days for any innovation, there is no too much regulations to protect people about it. and the space is open. So it's easy to anyone to come with a fraud model and trying to steal money from people and do some bad activities. But the shift here is, before you should trust someone to do something, and this is how the third party comes. But in the future, we need to educate and need to raise the awareness that you don't need to trust people, you just need to trust the technology itself. Let me tell you that the majority of blockchain projects came in forms of open source environment. So you can check actually what's going on before trying it. And also, it's open source. It is available for anyone to try it. So we need to raise the awareness of how to understand these technologies. It's a bit complicated. Even from the engineering level, it is complicated to understand actually what's happening inside. So we need to talk with the regulators. Just like to tell them about the functionality and educate the community about how to protect themselves. Think about your keys. This is something very essential. And because when you lose your keys, every digital asset in your wallet, you will have no control over it. So how to create your wallet, how to protect your keys, how you should print it out and don't put it in any digital format and keep it in a safe place. All these things, once the normal user started to figure out how to do these things, it's going to accelerate the adoption more and more. So also the regulators, we need to sit many, many times with them, telling them how the potential of this technology, because the wave already started and no one can stop. This is the beauty of decentralized ecosystems. No one can stop this. You will not be able to prevent it. So you need to think about how to adapt in a very fast way, because once we're going to do it, we will prevent more and more criminal activities from being on the ground.
And you touched there on the sort of on the regulation question, and I know that you have done some work with the Egyptian government. So I was just wondering, how have you found that process of approaching government? Are you working actively to support on the regulation side so that we can sort of see a more widespread use of this technology?
So I believe that as any innovation, that adoption should come top to down. So think about the GPS. At the early days, it was related to the military area, right? Then it started to come down to the enterprises and individuals, and now everyone already has a GPS service on his mobile device. So this is why I'm thinking that to accelerate the adoption, we need to work with the governmental entities and helping them to understand the technology in the best way, and then giving them the tools and applications to start feel the difference between the legacy system and the new era of the blockchain. And time by time, they will realize how much the importance of this. So when you talk about banning the service, if from the governmental entities, if they want to ban, like for example, crypto exchanges, actually what they are doing is they are banning themselves from being a part of the new era. So when you talk like this, they started to listen to you. We need to understand more, but we need to make everything to protect people. So the main concern for the governmental entities, and I believe they are in the right track, to protect people. And there is a common ground that should be established between the tech part or the tech industry and the regulators and the governmental entities. Because once we have a common ground that we can understand each other, so it will be much easier to regulate more services to accelerate the adoption. So yeah, I started here in Egypt because we are established in Egypt and we are the whole team here in Egypt. So I started to talk with the government about, yeah, this is Pravica as a communication tool, start using it. Because I already touched the pain, which is how to secure the digital communication. This is something crucial, especially in the after COVID-19 pandemic. Everyone is using digital communication in terms of business and personal living. So any other solution, it's great for now, but you are vulnerable by design. When you think about to cover all these issues, now don't care about the blockchain. We don't sell the blockchain as a technology, but we solve the problems using this technology. And once we have established the trust, more and more ideas is open to be discussed on the table. Yes.
And how about from an investor standpoint? How have you found engaging with investors? What's your sort of fundraising journey been so far? What are the big challenges been when approaching investors with a product like this?
Yeah, from the startup perspective, fundraising is very hard. So to close a round, it's very hard. It takes time. You need to talk a lot of times with a lot of investors, a lot of interviews. And this is normally in something that people understand. But what if when you go to talk with the investor and telling them about the blockchain, you have two kinds here of investors. You have VCs or investors, which is already blockchain focused VCs. So they are only investing in blockchain projects, and they even don't invest in any other sector, just blockchain focused. And when you reach to these people, it would be much easier because you both on the same level of understanding. They actually they understand the technology, and they are looking for a real applications to solve real problems on the ground. And you have the other side, which is the normal VC or the generic VC. So in that case, maybe it is not the best way to talk with investors like this, because from my experience, they maybe don't realize the value proposition behind the blockchain project. You have to do more and more efforts and talk with a very simple language about your product, and then telling them about the technology in a very easy way. Don't go in a deep detail, especially the technical details, how the transaction is being stored, the blockchain infrastructure that you can use, it is Ethereum, it is blah, blah, blah. No, don't talk about these technical terms because they don't understand these technical terms. They need to see numbers. They need to see your business model. They need to see some traction. They need to see all these elements that are going to affect their investment decision. So this is the two ways that actually any blockchain startup can go on.
And if anyone sort of listening who's maybe at the start of a fundraising journey, and you know, as you say, it can be a very daunting prospect and a lot of hard work. Are there any tools or programs that you found particularly useful or something you wish you'd known about earlier on in the process?
Yeah, so in a Pravica case, once we already launched the first MVP, it was back in 2019, actually May 2019, We started to build our solution on top of blockchain infrastructure, which is Blockstack. It's formerly called Blockstack, but nowadays it's called Stacks. So at that time, there was something like a competition between the whole applications already being built using this infrastructure. And we started to apply to this competition, and we succeeded to win four times the first place, because this ranking is being changed, was being changed every single month. So my advice, when you're trying to build something on top of blockchain, you need to decide which blockchain infrastructure that you need to come on top of it. And then I think that the majority of blockchain infrastructure, they already have like grants programs and some financial support for the new startups, because they know it's very hard for them to go with the fundraising directly. They need to build something that already can show the how they're gonna solve the problem. So yes, we succeeded to win in this competition. And at the time we had something like over $100,000 grants. It helped us to go with the journey to enhance the product, so that when we started to talk to the investors, we were ready a bit to show them some traction and show them how we are solving the problem. So my advice, try to select the best blockchain infrastructure that can help you to accelerate your development process. Almost the majority of these infrastructures, they already have their own grants. They can support the developers. And once you have something solid, then go to the next level, which is start talking with the VC. This is actually how we tackle this problem.
Mohammed, just to start to wrap us off, I have a couple of questions looking to the future that I wanted to ask you. So to start off with Pravaker and yourself, if you're looking at the future over the next 5 years, what are the sort of ambitions, targets? Where do you hope to be?
So, yeah, it's a very hard question. I think we need to think big, but we need to take every step seriously. So my dream actually about Pravaker, just to be the common communication platform all over the world. So to deliver the experience of secured and private communication to everyone in the world and make it real, fun in user experience and easy to use, and just to protect our users from being monetized by big data giants.
And if we think about blockchain technology more generally, and perhaps even over a longer term, you know, if you were looking forward 10, 15 years, what do you think the most sort of exciting implications of the technology could be, especially in Africa, and perhaps especially around communication and social communication, as that's where you're sort of sitting?
Yeah, the next era of the internet, which is, as we call it, the Web 3.0, I think blockchain is involved by design, because we already know how much the privacy violation and monetizing from users and collecting the data and all these things, because the architecture of Web 2.0, which is already based on client-server model. But in the Web 3.0, where everything is going to be changed, actually, every startup, they should think about how to change their business model from just collecting and selling the data to a service-based business model. So you should give a service, and then the customer or the user should pay for your service, and that's it. So to change this concept is going to take some time, as you mentioned, maybe in the next 10 years. I think the whole social network is going to be changed. The whole financial service is going to be changed. And every web application or mobile application, it's going to look for how to protect the users and just monetize from introducing the service. And I like to call it like a blind service provider. You should think about your startup as a blind service provider. You don't see the data. You don't collect the data. You just monetize from the service. Once we established this concept and started to shift to the next era, which actually it's already started. So as long as you can participate in early stages, you will be able to earn in the future more than people coming too late. So my dream about the blockchain is, and from what I'm seeing, the acceleration is happening right now. In every single industry, blockchain is disrupting the world. So in a very near future, maybe you can see Uber clone that can, you can ask for a driver and it is peer-to-peer and no one control the service, no one monetize from it, no one will change actually the whole places that you are visiting using this service because the data is already stored at their servers. So this is actually what I'm seeing, that blockchain can change the whole concept.
Mohammed, thanks so much for coming on to speak to me today. If anyone wants to learn some more about Pravica and even watch Mohammed's pitch on the Nest back, all the links to that will be in the description. And do tune in on the third Thursday of every month to the Nest to hear more future-oriented startups like Pravica pitch to our panel.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me. It was a great opportunity. I'm really excited about Invest Africa and all these initiatives that can show the potential of the next future in Africa.